Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lord, and I'll be your host today. And with me, I have two guests, Adam Albrecht, and John Roundcount. Welcome, fellas.
Hey, good to be here, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you guys are crop insurance guys, right? Now, Adam, you used to be an adjuster?
Yes. I started out in 2005 as an adjuster and did 17 years of that, and then got into the supervisor, northern half of Illinois. I was a supervisor there for 3 years until I got with John here and started selling.
I gotcha. Now, John, you've been in this business for how long?
I told you. You don't remember. 45 years.
Oh, I remember. Maybe I remember. It's just
that's a big number, huh? Yeah. 1980. 1980 is when I sold my first policy. It was a fall of 81 policy we sold in the fall of 1980. So been through a lot of years, seen a lot of changes.
So, Adam, did you grow up in Carrollton?
Grew up in Carrollton. Yeah, I went to school there, and I actually went to high school in Greenfield, and always lived within about 4 miles of where I grew up.
Now, did you go on to college or stay into farming?
I went to college, and I got my certificate in HVAC. I was an air conditioning, heating, and ventilation guy.
Well, that's good things to know. Can you still fix items? You know
what's
going on with
that?
I
refer that to the experts.
Really? Well, I see. How about you, John? You did you grow up in Greene County as well?
Greene County, yeah. Grew up in Greene County. I call my home, home is sort of Fielding, because my grandparents and such were in Fielding. But my parents, after I was born, they bought a farm for southwestern part of Greene County. And that's where we grew up as kids. And
didn't you have a pretty good size family?
I'm the oldest of nine.
Yeah.
That's pretty good size.
Yeah, that's pretty good
size. Yeah, and then the next generation, I think we've got 20, enough for a football team and a baseball team. And then it goes on from there.
Yeah.
So, family's been pretty prolific.
Yes.
And I'm the oldest of nine, was the first to attend college on either side of the family. Got my degree from Illinois, Bachelor's of Science, Electrical Engineering. And then my other eight brothers and sisters all followed suit with degrees from college.
So you got a degree in electrical engineering. Did you go into that field at all?
No, but no. I've been an engineer all my life. Went into the military as a drafted in, I was going to be drafted before as I graduated in 70. That was the first year for the draft. And decided I'd rather fly than go to boot camp. So I went to the Navy and was a Navy pilot for 8 years.
Cool.
And then came back and bought a piece of farm ground, and here I am.
Start farming. But when did you get into doing crop insurance?
Well, 1980 was when the Crop Insurance Act of 1980, Congress passed an act. Before 1980, crop insurance, federal crop, had been around since the late 30s. It was part of the Dust Bowl days.
Right.
And it has been sleepy. I don't think 5% of the producers purchased it. It was sold by employees only.
When you say
it was
producers, you're talking about all the farmers.
Farmers. Yeah. Less than 5% of the farmers purchased it. It was a pretty sleepy product.
So when we talk about farming and as far talking about insurance, are we talking about like growing anything, let it be apples, peaches?
Yeah, I'll take that. You know, your multi-peril crop insurance covers about anything you can grow from, you know, if you're in California, the almonds, down to Florida and the citrus. And then I would say here in the state of Illinois, even in Greene and Jersey counties, mostly, Calhoun County, some Jersey County, you've got apples and peaches. And a lot of those guys, I'm assuming they're carrying multi-peril products on that as well. When I started in 05, I was actually down in southern Illinois, Alta Pass area. And that was my job, is to go around and look at apples and peaches. So if it's a agricultural commodity that you can sell, be it.
Yeah, it has to have something like 3% participation in the county, yeah, or whatever. If it does, then they'll write or develop a policy for it.
Okay. What crop is probably the crop that least gets affected by Mother Nature, and what crop gets the most affected by Mother Nature? What would you say?
Depends on the peril. Hail can damage, and disease can damage soybeans substantially. Not so much corn. Corn is very susceptible to drought, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Then all crops are subject to overflow and flood, but then that's only specific areas. So the problem of insuring is there's a lot of differentiation between crops and between locations and risks. It's a risk management tool.
But does the crop insurance, does the insurance, the amount that we're insuring it, it varies according to what crop you're growing? Are some crops more, susceptible to something happening to it?
Well, are you talking yield? Or are you talking revenues? We now combine market with production. So production is just basically bushels. Then we have market deviations. Then we have products that combine the two. We connect market with production.
Wow.
So, and those are the more popular products these days. Crop insurance is a very sophisticated product.
Yeah, so there's just more than just weather. It
can be market. It can be diseases. It can be back in the policy, it'll state acts of God on the multi-peril side, but they really mean acts of nature. But any volcanoes and earthquakes are listed as causes of loss in the peril.
How would you, I'll say, Adam, what do you think about a farmer? Is there some farmers that don't get any crop insurance?
There are some, and everybody, just be their own judge on what they need to cover. But, if you're that guy that's fortunate enough to be that financially stable and can take a hit, if you have, a 2012 drought come through, that's up to them. But, I would say, like John said earlier, 90% of the producers we run into, it's there for financial stability, and to guarantee that, if you're using a bank or a lender,
they're going to want
you to be covered, just like they're going to want you to have coverage on your car
or your
building,
your home.
Yeah.
So
it's well used, and it's there to catch you if you fall. Like I'll refer back to 2012. That was a pretty big year that a lot of people felt a hit, no matter where you was in the United States. I mean, it came on you, and a lot of guys that didn't have the crop insurance felt the pain, and even the guys that did have crop insurance, they was glad they had it. So
now you were in the adjusting business for a while, right?
Yeah.
But when did you? What's your career in that?
So when I started out in 2005, it was just a part time. Most of the guys that get started as an adjuster, you always start out as a per diem. You get paid by the day. So that's how I got into it. And then within a year, I went to be a full-time adjuster.
Did you have to travel quite a bit for that job?
So, I've worked in 17 states.
Yeah.
And from the Dakotas down to Kentucky, Ohio, Nebraska, Colorado.
Is it a similar job like with insurance adjusters, whether it's fire or hail for roofing? Is there a lot of similarities?
Yeah, so I would say the similarities to it. I've never worked in the PNC world as far as to answer any of that, but to kind of link it together, when you have a catastrophic event, a lot of the guys will call them storm chaser. Get a phone call from your supervisor and you load up and you go to that point, whether it be North Dakota or Kansas. I was out in Kansas, Heston, Kansas, for a while. So you show up to help the other adjusters in the area get the work taken care of.
So if you're on the road, are you a family man?
Yeah, I've been married 17 years and got six kids.
Oh, six kids.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably tough being an adjuster and on the road a lot with six kids.
So when I started, that's all I knew. So it was pretty easy. You just go into it. And as we started having more kids, I would say in the last 3 years being able to come here and work with John, that brought me back home, which is very important because, as you say, six kids, a lot for my wife to deal with whenever I was gone. So,
okay.
When Adam approached me roughly 3 years ago, we both had a need. I wanted to slow down and kind of start passing it on to someone else that I could trust in the business, who would know the business from the inside or could develop the business. At the same time, Adam wanted to slow down, and that is not be on the road so much with a growing family. And so the combination of the two just seemed to work. It just clicked.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Adam Albrecht and John Ryan Count with us, and we're talking about crop insurance. And these guys are the local. Now, you said, the one thing that you said is there's a lot of insurance companies, just regular insurance companies, that I thought you said this, that they might have selling house insurance or car insurance, and they can also sell crop insurance. Is that true?
Agencies, yes, not companies. The crop insurance business is basically held by, what is there, six primary reinsurance companies. They don't really have anything to do with other P&C. They're specialties, just like we're a specialist. But an agent can sell crop insurance through one of those crop insurance companies, or of course he can sell through through his local company or other company for his auto, home, that kind of business. And such. But 1983, you were asking earlier about how we got formulated into this. And 1983 taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Because what put a lot of producers in trouble wasn't the loss of the crop alone. It was, we had low prices going into 83. A lot of producers had pre-sold at some higher prices. A lot of times there's a good opportunity for early marketing in the year before you produce the crop. Well, then came 83, which was a terrible drought in the area, and they didn't produce the crop. So they didn't have the crop to sell, but they still have to fill that contract.
Oh, they
did. They have to buy back the product that they sold at the market.
Ah.
So this is why I'm saying today we have products that offer both a bushel and a market guarantee.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm asking is, okay, so they pre-sold, and
then
there was a drought, and then they have to buy it back at that
at
pre-sold
the market,
price?
At the market price today to cover the contract that they
and
sold.
If it was a drought, then the prices went up, so
yeah,
they had to buy back
at
a higher
price. To fill
did
a contract.
Did that put a lot of farmers out of business?
That was a main factor that put a number of people out of business. It wasn't just the loss of the product. It was having to recover the product or pay back that market.
Couldn't do it.
No, I mean, couldn't do it. And
had to give up their farms.
Yeah, yeah. Now, back then, that's all we had was a bushel or a yield guarantee. But private industry over the years have morphed this into a bushel guarantee and a market revenue guarantee, such that if you have a bushel loss, the primary product we sell now has a combination of the two. So if you have a bushel loss and the market has gone up, we will reimburse you for those lost bushels at today's market. Not
yes.
the market you bought it at.
So,
big difference.
Now, you said originally that the government was, this is all government thing.
Yes. Yeah. Before 1980, it was all government.
All government. And I'm going to assume that just because when government runs things, a lot of times they don't run it that well. Is that true?
It was a bit sleepy.
Sleepy.
No innovation, no creativity. It was more of a, you do it the way we say you're going to do it. I remember.
And you did, you worked for the government on that?
No, I came in when it first went private, and the first version of that was we were private agents selling it for the government. Before that, government employees sold it.
Uh-huh.
Now it was opened up to private agents. Then within about 5 or 6 years, it was opened up to private companies. That was called reinsurance side.
What made you want to get into it? Into that business.
The phone call I got, I'll never forget, from a lady up in Pittsfield. I came back from the military in 79, bought some ground. I remembered my dad's first year farming, 1954. All the corn burned up. I think the high temperature record was set in 54, 114 degrees. Nobody raised any corn. I remember that.
What happened to your dad in that situation?
Well, he survived because inputs were low. He had a good job. I remember it was tough, though. It was tough because it was only his second year of farming, and he lost his whole corn crop. So when I picked up some ground, was going to start farming, I did not want to go through what my dad went through. So
yeah.
I started making phone calls to buy crop insurance. It was a problem. I couldn't find it. I finally got a hold of the FSA office out at Pittsfield. That's where they sold it from. So I purchased a policy. The next year, the lady I purchased it from said, hey, we're going private. You were so adamant about buying crop insurance. Would you like to sell it? And I said, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Because I saw an opportunity there.
Yeah.
And
got on the ground floor, didn't you?
Absolutely, the bottom rung. Yep, started from day one. I would have been the very first agents in the state of Illinois to sign a contract to be an independent agent with crop insurance. And that was in August of 1980.
Okay. So, at that time, were there other agencies that were selling too?
No, it was not sold by agents. It was just sold by individuals such as myself.
Uh-huh.
Who came in as a contractor, if you will, and privately sold it. For example, we'd get paid a commission check. We wouldn't get any statement as to why we got paid what we got paid. We just get paid. It was pretty loose.
Yeah.
Wasn't well organized, but it was a beginning.
At that point in time, did you think it was a good moneymaker, a good job to have, or not?
You know, I still remember the very first couple of years, all the files I had were in one pile on my desk. It wasn't that much of a thing, but it was evolving. It kept evolving and it kept growing. And I was in the middle of all that. Actually, after about 5 or 6 years, when the private companies started to develop and become involved with it, many agents then had access to it, didn't have it before. They all had to be trained. So I used to go around. I trained quite a few agents in Southwest Illinois to be certified to sell. You had to have a certification. It took a couple of days of training and a pretty detailed test. And I certified a number of agents in Illinois for crop insurance.
Would you consider yourself then... somewhat of an expert in this field.
Word. What is it? You got to be over 50 miles from home to be an expert. Yeah, you got to be over 50 miles from home to be an expert. So no, it's just me, and I still enjoy having a steak and a beer.
Okay. Adam.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into this? What made you want to go into this business?
Well, my brother was at a meeting one day, and he was talking about it was an insurance meeting. They was needing adjusters. Well, when I just got out of HVAC school, the market was pretty flooded. So
with HVAC?
Yeah, and it's completely opposite of what it is today. And
I think that must go in cycles.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they must hit it hard, then a bunch of people go into it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So yeah. I was doing HVAC part-time. I was just getting ready to start carrying mail. I did that part-time. And then I added the adjusting on because that was only getting
paid
by
the day.
Well,
you had 6 mouths of feet, right?
Well, not then. I was just doing good to keep myself going.
He had plans.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But so then I made a phone call to a guy, and Mike Large was his name from Riverton, Illinois. He sent me a piece of paper and said, sign this, and you're an adjuster now. So I drove my first school up in Dubuque, Iowa. Would have been like about February 1st of 05. So I was 20 years old and didn't really know anything about crop insurance. Dad... he'd always farmed, but to the best of my knowledge, we just had a hail policy, so I didn't know much about it.
And either one of you can answer this question, but what are some things that producers need to know that they don't know, that maybe they don't know? They need to know this because this is some good – they're listening to this and they're going, tell me something I don't know.
One of the things that I've always thought is a bit of a problem – everybody seems to know that for the multi-peril side, no matter where you go, what agent, agency, company, or whatever, it's all the same rates, the same guarantees, the same policy options. It's all the same. You're going to pay the same, and you're going to have the same benefit here or there. But what they don't understand is that kind of leads them into a, well, it doesn't matter where I go, I'll get the same policy. Oh, my goodness, we have so many options and so many details. It's a risk management. And the fact that we both farm, we both purchase it ourselves. We look for the efficient ways to sell it. I've often said, each producer I sell crop insurance to is just like each season that I've ever farmed. They're never the same. They're so different. So to tune
everybody
the policy,
has their own needs.
Own individual needs, own their own setup. You have individuals that, for example, they may have some ground in three counties. They're right here over here at the corner. They got some in Madison, Magoopin, and there's ways we can combine them for discounts, but these things are a bit complicated to get set up. So each individual has oftentimes specific needs that need to be addressed.
Adam, I know you've been in this business, what, 3 years now? As far as
selling, three years, 20 years altogether.
Right, but in this
yeah.
What have you learned in the 3 years that you didn't see it coming? And you're like, I didn't know that.
Well, on the claim side, you feel like you know that inside and out, but whenever you get onto the agency side, there's just a lot more details that I just didn't pick up on or wouldn't have known without being in the driver's seat where John is. And it's a range of things. I couldn't pick just one thing out. But to your point of what do the producers need to know, I would say probably what we would run into every year is the people that think they can change an entity after March 15th. By March 15th, you have to have everything in there. So if you've got maybe a kid that wants to start farming and he knows that he wants to, and he picks up the ground in May, it's going to be hard to get him a policy. You can't get him a policy.
You can't get him a policy, right?
Yeah. So that, to be forward thinking on that, or even if a guy wanted to, maybe he was going to change to an LLC this year because last year he was farming individually and going into it. We need to have that stuff well before March 15th.
What do you mean well before? How long before? When should they contact you and come to your office?
As soon as they know that they're going to be changing an entity.
30 days? 60 days? Or what's the least amount of days? 14th? Can you do anything on the 14th? No.
Right now, the premium rates and guarantees are being fabricated for the spring crop, and that goes on through the month of February. By the last week of February, we'll know rates, premiums, and coverages. We'll be sending out an update letter to our own insureds. Decisions all have to be done by March 15th for spring crops. So, yeah, if there's any changes in an entity name, those are important changes. Even in any P&C policy, you can't insure somebody else's property. You can only insure your own property. Well, who are you? What is your entity name? Who is the insured?
Yes.
So that has to be right. And you can't, one of the problems we see, people go to FSA and they certify, but if there's a mistake on a certification, it's corn or beans. That can be a problem at loss time. We've got to have acres right. We've got to have entities right. And this isn't because insurance companies are hard to work with. It's more because insureds can be difficult to work with because you can't be loose.
Yeah.
You got to have it together. You got to be tight. You got to know who the insured is, what you're insuring, where is it at, when was it planted. Those details have to be correct. When there's a loss, boom, everything just works.
Yep. Okay. Well, gentlemen, believe it or not, we ran out of time. Adam, thanks for coming in. John, thanks for coming in. You guys, hope you have a busy February.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, we typically do. Yeah, yes. Thanks, Chris.
All right, you guys take care.